It seems almost old hat to talk about the computer revolution in the arts, and the days when the tools of the trades and the sounds of the workplace were so different, when the rattle of the moviola, the typewriter, the T-square, and the brush were in the air. It's been about 10 years or so since that moment came when even the last holdouts had to give in, had to convert, if you will, because there was finally almost no way to make a movie, write a book, design a logo, without tapping into the system. And a decade later, creative types are starting to reflect on the ups and downs of their necessary digital re-educations.
I first made the transition about 1990.
Film editor Barry Malkin has had a long association with Francis Ford Coppola and is a 2-time Oscar nominee for his editing work on Cotton Club and The Last Godfather film. For decades, Malkin's medium was 35mm film, stored on reels, hung on hooks, held up to the light, marked with a grease pencil, cut with blades, spliced with sticky tape, and then he went digital.
I was used to standing on my feet, flinging film around, using my arms a lot, splicing, despite the cuts I would get on my fingers. And I just liked the feeling of film in my hand. I really expected that that was going to be the biggest hurdle.
In fact, Malkin adapted to the physical differences in just a few weeks. He's still trying to get over the real hurdle, which is that he's working with a digital image, a less than perfect reflection of what's actually on the film.
That still is missing, no matter how high quality the transfer.
He still talks about his early computer experience on Godfather 3.
And this was a beautifully photographed and beautifully production designed film. The photography and the production design and the costumes just didn't resonate to you on a day-to-day basis. So when I looked at stuff that I had cut on the screen many months after I had cut it, I said, gee, you know, that's such a beautiful shot. I really should lay on it longer because it plays better on the screen than it does on my editing machine.
When you're making things, you want to feel like you're making things, not determining things and having somebody else do it.
Chip Kidd is a graphic designer whose book jackets have attracted attention and who's just written a novel with a design theme. He was in college when the digital revolution was being whispered about. He shifted easily to the new way, but was trained using the traditional tools.
T-squares, press type, cutting boards, rubber cement, wax.
They are now obsolete.
It's wonderful to stand up over a big drawing board and to be able to see the whole thing at once and really spread out. And, you know, the computer screen is a light source. You're staring at a light bulb all day.
And it's a light source with its own instincts.
To put anything on an angle, you have to make a conscious effort to do it, and as opposed to just picking something up and sticking it at an angle with your hands, if you're not careful, everything on the page is just going to be straight and horizontal and all lined up, and it's hard to deliberately try and make something look spontaneous. It's like trying to tickle yourself. It doesn't work. So you have to make an extra effort if you want something to look random.
What the computer's good at, you tend to favor.
Milton Glaser is the premier graphic designer of his generation. Glaser has thus far resisted the temptation to use the digital systems himself. I point to the computer, he says, and then his staff executes his wishes.
One of the great satisfactions of working in the arts is the physicality of the experience, of moving things around, the smell of the pigment, of the crumbling of the chalk, the miracle of drawing a line across a sheet of paper and seeing it become form.
And as far as he's concerned, it's a miracle even if the drawing is fuzzy.
The brain sort of looks at that and corrects it, and then the hand modifies the sketch according to the brain's suggestion, and then the brain takes another look at it and makes another modification, which the hand adapts, and so on. So there's this constant dialectic between the hand and the brain. Now, this process is completely absent from the computer because you have an idea and you do it on the computer, it is always clear. It's immediately finite, the shapes, the sizes, the fonts. So this rather essential part of the process, which is the fuzzy part, is short-circuited, doesn't exist.
I enjoyed having a word processor initially.
Author Joyce Carol Oates writes in longhand and always has, but for a time she went from her pencil draft to a computer to do rewrites and revisions.
I was working at very long periods of time, like 12 hours a day. I realized one day that I was staring at the screen with these quivering little figures in front of my eyes, that I was getting mesmerized.
And she found herself saving time in the wrong places.
It's sort of my whole life, so I don't want to hurry it. I will write a page over 9 times, and then the next day I write a whole chapter over. I want to do the whole thing over. I don't necessarily want to print out.
And for her, there's a tactile element as well.
When I'm not writing anything in terms of fiction, I might just sit and draw, or I write words. I like these felt tip pens, blue, I have blue and green and red and black. None of this would show up on a word processor. It's more just primary doodling, really.
Writers, it would seem, have more of a choice. The film world, the graphic design world, they are digital, and there is no turning back. But in the end, writers can do it any way they want to, even if it means kissing the computer goodbye.
I was really happy to get rid of it. I told my husband one day, I just don't want it. Just don't want it anymore. So we took it out of my study. I guess we sold it. It was like just going back to my real self.
As for Barry Malkin, film editor,
I wouldn't like to go back to the old way of doing things despite all of the things I say.
And Glazer?
Like everything else, it's not easy to pick out the positive from the negative in any case, because everything always comes to us as a bundle of mixed virtues.
And Kidd?
The computer's terrific, because the computer becomes your sketchbook, and you can make all these decisions just instantly.
Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the digital systems as much as anyone. After all, these words were written on one, and the digital recording I made of them was edited and mixed digitally. But we started off about 7 minutes ago with the sound of a clattering moviola. A few years ago, I could have gone down the street to record that sound off of a real moviola. But in this case, I had to go to a sound effects library and look it up under M. The living technology of an era and the skills that go with it are now library effects. And who knows what machines and sounds and skills will suffer the same fate in the next 10 years. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.